You ready? Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. F-A-O-U-R, at H-A is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Missed the first hour? Hell, mostly sports until Raheel ruined it.
Well, he just texted me saying he's at a doctor's appointment.
He's such a liar.
Lying. He's lying through
Why would he text you saying he's at a doctor's appointment?
Because he wouldn't know. He wouldn't know.
He said, F, what happened? People are texting me saying Blitz is killing me at doctor's appointment.
Stop.
Bro, you're trash, Raheel. Come on. No doctor's appointments are at 5 p.m. Everyone knows
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
We're not idiots.
Exactly. Your doctor's appointment's always at 9 a.m. and you don't get in until 12.
I want to talk about LeBron and Kobe.
Yeah.
And woo!
Yeah. Yeah. That couldn't be any more Raheel if it tried. I'm going to send a basket of bacon and Space City vodka to Raheel's house on the Blitzers. That's my problem, is I don't trust people who don't drink.
Yeah.
Or eat bacon.
Raheel eats bacon.
Does he? Okay. Yeah. In that case, I still don't trust him because he doesn't drink.
All right.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Yeah, a lot of people dogging. I like their show, man. I like Granato and him. I think they do a good job. And, you know, I wish he had better things to do than to call in with weak-ass woos.
He doesn't.
I know. He certainly doesn't have to go to the doctor.
Perfectly healthy.
Yep, so his doctors don't work full days on Fridays, especially holiday weekends. Yeah, Raheel, you know where you'll find your doctor? He's on the 16th tee at Wildcat right now. So if you're out at Wildcat, I'll believe you're with your doctor. That's so bad. 713-780-ESPN. Squeezing a couple calls. Mike, I think it is. What's up, Mike? Mike?
Hey, sports guys.
Hey now, sports.
Hey, I got a question for y'all. Would you consider losing your beer man card if you totally enjoy craft beers and spend a lot of time at the local breweries, but also if you're planning on partaking in a few at a barbecue by the pool, going with some of the mainstream beers? I have to listen.
Man, I don't know. It's all a matter of...
Yeah, well,
I don't judge anybody for what they drink. I mean, if for me, I don't even... Like Coors Miller Bud, it doesn't do anything for me anymore. So if I've got the choice of drinking that or just not drinking, I just end up not drinking.
Well,
but I mean, to each their own.
Listen, if there's no other choice, if somebody was buying us a beer somewhere, and I think Ziegenbach was our best choice, so we took that. That was fine. Somebody described this to me, and I thought it was pretty. I thought it made sense. The difference between a beer snob and a beer nerd.
Mm-hmm.
The beer snob will not drink anything that's not craft beer.
Right.
The beer nerd will drink craft beer, but if there's no other choice, we'll drink Miller Lite or whatever. I think I fall in that category. I think that's what he does. It's not my first choice. It's not something I'm going to go out and I really don't need to, because I kind of buy my own beer for the most part. And the bars, right. The bars I go to have the beers I like. So I don't know the last time where I went and didn't have an option, but I don't, you know, nobody's going to blame you for that. Enjoy what you enjoy, man. Don't let people tell you.
Yeah, I think I'm that guy. I'm that caller. I prefer craft beer, but if I'm at a place that only has like Corona and that kind of thing, I'll drink that. And I think Fred's in the middle between me and AJ in terms of like where we are on the scale.
Yeah.
And for me, if I'm like eating crawfish and stuff, I want a lighter beer because crawfish can get a little heavy. So I'll go to the store and buy like a Corona or Dos Equis or something like that. But I know AJ probably won't drink any of that.
No.
No, I wouldn't buy that from the store. That's because, and I live less than a mile from the best specs in the city, so I just go and get my beer there. But, I mean, I'm not going to blame people for that. That's whatever you're into, man. Just if you offer me one, I'm probably going to say no. Like, we were at some friend's house Sunday, and they had a bunch of regular beer, and then they had vodka and whiskey. So guess what choice I made? I made the wise choice.
Drank booze.
I drank booze.
That's when 90% of my life I'm a beer guy, not a liquor guy.
Yeah.
When I'm in the casinos, I drink liquor. You know why? Because they don't have good beer there.
No. What's the term for a guy that just looks for the highest ABV? An alcoholic?
Yes.
Let's work Wesley in. What's up, Wesley?
Woo!
Okay, dump them from now on when they do that. Yeah. F you too, Wesley. You're a worthless piece of... I almost said it, didn't I? I really do not want to finish the show today.
Just don't take calls.
Yeah, we're not doing any more calls. Congratulations, Raheel, you started that. There'll be no more calls on this show today.
I'm fine with that.
In fact, we may ban calls forever from the show.
Okay, done.
Because that's what we're getting. I mean, we're getting these... And honestly, man, what makes you think you're clever if you just call up and woo? And I know Raheel does it, so that makes you think, oh, it's cool because Raheel does it. If you had to look like Raheel the rest of your life, you wouldn't think it's cool.
Wait, what is that supposed to mean?
Just saying.
I mean, Raheel's better looking than us.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to look like that.
No, me neither, but...
Just saying.
Yeah.
Skinny jeans and the weird clothes he wears and that stupid beard. Yeah, see what you just started, Raheel? Congratulations.
Raheel's not a bad-looking guy, though.
No, he's a nice-looking guy. I don't want to look like him. I'd rather look like...
Well, you have a hard enough time getting through security.
Exactly. And I have a trusted traveler thing, and I still have trouble. This is really...
I wanted to talk about something that happened last night, and you may not have seen it because you weren't watching the NBA game.
Yeah, you guys calling in trying to get on hold, you can forget it. We're done with calls today. You can thank Raheel for that.
Did you see Shaq's feet?
I saw a story about it and chose not to read it.
I think you should take a look.
I'm not going to take a look. I somebody said that he had disgusting feet. Why do I want to see a picture of someone's disgusting feet?
I've just never seen anything like it. I mean, it's a... Jong, did you see it last night?
I'm looking at it now. It kind of looks like... What's a scary movie? That guy that couldn't use that disabled hand? It kind of looks like that, except it's on a foot.
It's not strong enough. Take the little hand. It's Chris Elliott.
Yeah, that one.
Take the little... The guy's so grossed out.
Take
he doesn't
my strong
want to
hand.
He'd rather die than touch the tiny hand.
That's what it looks like. His tiny toe is turned the other way. It's sideways. His
big toe like curls
underneath
his second toe.
This is probably the second most, disgusting topic or topic that Fred doesn't want to talk about. In terms of, Wu's probably one.
No, I see
this is probably number two.
No, this is what you guys are now teaming up because it's obvious that I wanted to end the show after Raheel's awful call, and now you're going to bring up something to get me to leave. I think that's what you're doing. And I want to take the rest of the day off. I'm okay with that.
But we got RJ Bell in like 20 minutes.
You know what? You guys can interview RJ and ask him about Shaq's feet and twisted toes.
Oh, it's so vile.
Yeah.
Wait, did they show this on TNT or something?
Yeah, that he took his shoe off during halftime last night. And, it was just... It was a disaster. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, like his... the big toe, the toenails are disgusting. First of all, they're.
I don't think he has any.
No, they look like they're made of stone, like they're crusted, and it. I don't know, but then the big toe goes out and then curves underneath the rest of his toes like a...
It, Chong's in there moving his hand to kind of mimic it. What the hell?
I mean, it looks like...
What is wrong with you people?
Like some sort of a claw. And then his foot, like, you know, usually the width of your foot is from toe to toe, right? Shaq's feet are significantly wider than the area that just his toes cover. And it's just, it makes for a really, really...
I'm sorry, I searched this on Twitter.
Did you see the one from World Star Hip Hop? They posted it last night.
I'm seeing a video from TNT, NBA on TNT.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's what you need to find.
And he's like wiggling them.
Yeah.
Searches for disgusting snake stories for AJ.
There you go.
No, I'm not looking.
I mean, you just have to.
No, I don't have to look. I don't have to look.
For the show, you can look.
I don't have to look. No.
You don't have to touch them. It's just
I don't have to look at them either. I'm an American. I have rights. I have the right to ignore feet.
It kind of looks like, remember Torrey Holt's hand? Kind of looks like that.
I'm guessing a lot of basketball players have feet that look like that.
But Shaq has, he's got way too much money to have feet that look like that.
How do you fix it?
There's hundreds of ways to fix it. I mean, you just go get a pedicure. There's a good start. But whatever that toe curled thing is, a doctor could fix that. A doctor could fix that.
I don't know. I don't think they can. I don't know if they can fix toes like that.
And I'm sure he doesn't want to, you know, go through surgery and months of rehab.
Why not?
Mm.
If your feet looked like that, you wouldn't get a surgery, John?
I think about it.
I mean, it's crazy. It looks like it looks like he wore feet bindings or something.
Yeah, I guess somebody on TNT said, you make too much money to have feet like that.
It makes me wonder, like, because he started out with Reeboks, and then he did, like, his own shoe brand, the Shaq brand. I don't know that he ever wore those on the court, the Shaq brand shoes. Or did he? I don't know. But whatever the shoes he was wearing, it's not a great commercial for that company, for sure. It's a really bad look. And everyone, make sure you tweet Fred pictures of Shaq's toes.
Because anybody who does that, I will block, even if you've been a longtime follower.
You just need to see this,
No,
Fred.
I don't need to see it.
How can you not be involved in the discussion?
I don't have to be involved in the discussion. You and John are doing just fine.
And this is, how about we do this? Raheel does this to Granado when he's always off. He'll tell his listeners to tweet Granado some random pictures. How about you send Raheel pictures of Shaq's feet?
Yeah. If you want to do something like that, be my guest.
Of course, Dustin's already sending stuff to us.
I'll block Dustin. I will block you if you tweet me that. Just you have been warned.
I'm going to tweet it to you. I don't care if you block me. Good.
So
won't hurt my feelings. You know, I've gotten unfollowed by like 100 people in the last 2 days. I don't care. I'm going all out.
I will no longer support you for Survivor. Then
that's okay.
I will pull that. I will pull my support.
I'm going to be barefoot on Survivor all the time.
Yeah, then I won't watch. You know, I'll have to get the letterbox version of it put up so that I can't see your feet. That's how I'll do it.
Ignacio goes, a footie from Shaq's feet or bang the Red Witch with no necklace?
Ooh. I'll go Red Witch.
You think so?
Yeah. No, I would.
I don't know. Her feet might look like Shaq's.
Yeah. Oh. Red Witch, no necklace?
No, I saw that episode not too long ago. And
you think you could get past it?
Yeah. I think I could. Because I would know that deep down somewhere in there would be the Red Witch that I really want to hit.
Well, like 2,000, 4,000 years previous.
What if Shaq's feet were attached to bald Natalie Portman?
That'd be the end of her. That would be the end of her. There are some, like, Eva Mendez is really hot, right?
She has gross feet.
She chews her toenails.
What?
Yes. She chews her toenails. I'm out on that.
Well, I know Shaq doesn't chew his toenails.
Well, maybe he does, but that's why they look like that.
God. It looks like some sort of, like something you would expect to see from some tribe who's been living out of technology for a long time, and he's never owned a pair of shoes. It's like an aboriginal, native. It's like, he looks, his feet look like a cannibal's feet is what it looks like. That's what I project a cannibal's feet would look like. Like someone from a cannibalistic tribe.
Okay, but if you're a cannibal, would you eat someone with those feet?
No.
Okay, just checking.
I mean, I don't have the general aversion to feet that you have, but these feet are on a different level. They don't look human.
It's like the ninth wonder of the world.
I mean, it really is. It's unbelievable.
Well, I'll tell you.
And how Shaq stayed healthy all those years. Like, you know how Yao was always having foot troubles?
Well, I remember he had some weird infection once, and that's the thing that finally set me over the top because I never liked feet. And then they showed that thing, and it looked like there was pus and sores and everything else on there. And I'm like, I'm out. I don't want to see any more feet ever. And so I blame Yao Ming for this. But in general, I'm not a foot person.
Man. It's not good.
Well.
Someone said, David says, have you seen James Harden's feet? I haven't. Does he have pretty gross feet, too?
See, a lot of people saying the same thing about LeBron and Harden both. I'm not going to go look at their feet,
dude,
though.
There's no way that those guys' feet are as messed up as Shaq's, though.
Maybe not, but I think basketball players in general, you're going to get your feet screwed up.
Well, and Shaq also, doesn't he wear like a size 22 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, so not only are they disgusting, but they're also massive.
Can you imagine if his toes weren't messed up, how big, like, it would add a, like, half an inch, right?
Yeah. I don't know how he does it.
Hmm.
It's one of the worst things I've seen. And how his tone, I mean, maybe he's embarrassed. I would say maybe he's embarrassed to go get a pedicure, but why would you show your foot off on national TV then? If you're too embarrassed to let the little Asian lady at the pedicure place see your foot, why would you show it off on TNT? Of course, if I were the lady that worked at the nail salon, I'd rather move back to Vietnam than fix Shaq's feet. I'd be like, I'm good. I'm out. I'm out of here.
Go work at the massage parlor across the street.
I'm not doing. I didn't move halfway across the world to start my new life with this. I'm not doing this. Like the old country life was better.
Okay, why couldn't I have all my live reads in the first hour instead of the second two? Because then I could just leave now. Now that you guys have put this image. And yes, I've seen the picture now. Thanks a lot.
They're getting tweeted at you?
No. But I want to know, how do I go to beaches? I don't look at people's feet.
You would have to look at these.
Not when I go. No. And usually if I go to a beach and women are in bikinis, I'm not going to make it to the feet to begin with. Who does that? Other than Rex Ryan. I mean, that's his thing, not my thing. All right, guys. Hey, I want to tell you about Houston Can Academies, which is a terrific place. Change lives every day. They graduate thinkers every day. They take in kids who've dropped out of other schools, and some of them really good kids that had to get jobs to support their family or had transportation troubles. Well, they take them in. They give them a second chance. And so many of them go on and do great, great things. And they give them the tools that they need to succeed. And that's why they need your donations. And we're getting into a new school year next year, and they can use your help, believe me. And by your help, just a vehicle you're not using anymore, cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, RVs, doesn't matter if they're running or not, tractors, four-wheelers, anything that maybe you were going to fix up, maybe you were going to sell, you just never got around to it. Well, if you donate today, they're going to come and tow it free of charge, process all the paperwork, your donation's tax deductible, and if you can hear my voice, they'll come and tow it, doesn't matter where you are. If you're down in Galveston, if you're over in Katy, doesn't matter, they'll come and tow it. And if you donate today, free $50 Visa gift card, just their way of saying thank you. Give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com, right off the car, not the kid.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Ain't no mercy.
And we're back on the Blitz. Since this show has totally been disgusting from the beginning, Did you see the 3-foot-tall porn star who looks like a kid?
No.
A 3-foot-tall Japanese porn star who capitalizes on looking like a child in X-rated films is actually a 24-year-old computer programmer. Kohei Nishi, who has an incurable disease called mucopolysaccharidosis, earns a living by having sex with women who look old enough to be his mother.
Oh, he's a guy?
He's a guy. He struggles to stand for longer than 5 minutes because of his condition, but that does not bother him, as most of his porn shoots, he's not standing.
Man.
He was introduced to the adult film industry by his drinking buddy, porn mogul Gennari Takahashi. I wonder if he's any relation to Julie. We have to ask Julie that. Hopes to prevent children from being sexually abused through his work. Really? The former computer programmer joins the likes of Bridget the Midget, Minnie Maya, and Lady Gangsta in carving out a niche for little people in porn. Have you seen that? But he doesn't look like a little person. He looks like
like a child.
He looks like a little kid.
There was a chick who, this was years ago, came on the Stern Show called Lil Lupe.
Yeah, there's the photo right there.
Oh, he does look like a child. And Lil Lupe, like, her deal is she looked like a teenage girl. And, I mean, she's a grown woman, but she just looked so young that that's what they were looking for. I mean, that's, I guess it's better than actually looking at young girls, but.
I don't know, man. I feel like it's almost the same thing because you wouldn't know. Are you going to go look for this guy's things now because, he's 24 years old and it's okay to look at a little kid?
Well, I'm not going to look at it.
Well, me either. Although the Japanese girls in the picture are pretty hot. But. I'm going to go with kind of disgusting.
I mean, does he lay the wood?
Well, I don't know. I just read the story. I haven't looked at any of his work. He's got very small hands, though.
Jong could probably get away with that, too.
Yeah, Jong, you could probably do this.
Jong looks young.
God, it's freaky, man. Listen, I know.
I feel like Jong being bald, though, makes him look a little bit older. Like, if Jong had hair, I think he would look like he was about 14.
Well, yeah, remember when he dressed up like the cheerleader?
Yeah.
He looked like a 13-year-old girl.
Yes.
But what the hell, Japan? Seriously. You think this is good porn? Is there really anybody out there that wants to see a guy that looks like a little kid?
Excuse me.
Really, man? Really?
That was the loudest one of them all.
That was the best one yet.
This has been like one a day now for your entire week. Maybe.
I didn't even drink an energy drink. I didn't drink any beer. You saw I had water with lunch.
No, but you ate a gigantic meatball sandwich.
I mean, it was the only size they had.
And that was a lot of onion rings.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Onions make you belch?
Yeah.
I thought it just makes it smell.
Well, that too. Because we could smell that burp all the way over here.
Good.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I bet Raheel's into that kind of stuff. But other than that, I can't imagine anybody liking that.
I don't think you should knock it till you try it.
Well, I'm not going to try it.
I mean, he's an adult man who's putting pipe to adult women. I think it's okay.
Yeah, but he looks like he's 5.
I mean, but really, how much attention are you paying to that kid?
Well, if I saw
when you watch a porno, how much attention are you paying to the guy?
Well, almost zero, but if I saw a little kid, I'd be like, dude, I got to change this. This is illegal. I'm going to prison for that. Somebody's going to show up at your door. One of those TV shows. It's like, oh, you searched for little Japanese guy. What if this whole thing's a ruse to get you to look at kiddie porn?
That's true.
Yeah. Jose says, I too find feet gross. I'm with you on that, sir. Some people have fetishes of that.
I'm not into that.
Yeah, well, there's certain things about, I mean, the human body isn't perfect. There's some mistakes God made when he put this thing together.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying, feet being one of them. But yeah, he didn't ask me. Didn't ask for suggestions. Like maybe put, I don't know.
He didn't need your input.
No, kind of did his own thing, which is fine. But it's okay to come back and criticize afterwards. Things don't work out the way you like, and Shaq is just proof of that. Thank God there's good beer out there right here in our own city.
Yeah, we are lucky, and of course we're happy to have Carbach on board with us now, and they've got so many great beers coming in and out. Basically every week they're putting new beers out, and they've got a big barrel-aged barley wine that they're going to put out in the near future, and we had the Big and Bright last week that was fantastic. They never cease to amaze me with how much good brew they're putting out. And then if you haven't been to the restaurant, you need to get there. You need to try it out. The food is out of this world. Everything is – this is not like bar food. This is top-quality restaurant food, gourmet food. And everything there pairs with one of the beers on the wall. And that's what makes it really a really cool, unique experience. And if you haven't been out, you need to go try it. And, you know, whatever you're going to be drinking this summer, Carbach's got something for everybody. So find in your nearest grocery store, your nearest gas station, or if you're out at the bar or a restaurant, they've got something for you there at Carbach, including the Staycation, which is great for – it's a great Texas session beer, good for anybody this summer or the weekend warrior. Since it is Friday, that's a good one to check out. And don't forget to join us for the Love Street Blues in the Beer Garden every Wednesday evening in partnership with the Houston Blues Society. No cover for listening to the tunes. Normal Beer Garden pricing for brews. $9 for a 9-ounce glass and 4 tokens, or $13 for a pint and 3 tokens. More info at CarbachBrewing.com. That's CarbachBrewing.com.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And you know what that music means. Time for the gambling guru of the planet, R.J. Bell, founder of Pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at R.J. in Vegas. RJ, the show has totally gone to hell today. It's up to you to save it. No pressure.
Well, what's been the problem? Well, do a little self-analysis.
Basically, what happened is one of the hosts of another show on our station called in and wooed, like they woo at the Astros games now, and we hate it. And he wooed on our phone, then got other people wooing on our phones. And then I tried to show Fred Shaq's feet, and Fred has a really bad aversion to feet, so that's kind of ruined things for him.
So Shaquille O'Neal's feet?
Yes.
How do you have special insight into his feet?
He showed them on TNT last night.
Okay. And you took like a screenshot.
They are...
Don't look.
They're about... I mean, think of the worst thing, and that's them. It's so bad.
And it's all over the internet.
Now, think about this a second, right? So the cliche is, and I think there's some truth to it, is some people who feel maybe inside that they might be gay, they've at times been really anti-gay, right?
Yes.
So, you know, now, so the question is, could Fred be like a foot fetish guy, but he's trying to deny it?
A closeted himself? Foot fetish guy?
Exactly.
I could see that. I could absolutely see that.
I thought you were going to save the show, not make it worse.
I'm just trying to drill down to the truth. You know, the truth is always profound, is a saying I believe in.
I would say if the hottest woman in the world stuck her toe in my mouth, I would throw up on her. Does that help you?
Again, it seems like, you know what Shakespeare said, doth protest too much.
No, I just protest when people shove their feet in my face. That's all.
Now, changing gears, though, do you think the other host, is he somehow calling you guys out for being like the, you know, the sardonic skeptics? It's one thing not to be a homer and in the bag for your city teams, but could it be you guys are contrarian and you're just, you know, so negative to stand out, to not be part of the chorus?
Hmm.
I mean, that's what we're accused of all the time.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but,
is that it? So, they,
but
so
our
they
local team, our local teams here never win, so it's hard to argue that.
So, well, listen, there can be the pleasure of the small victories.
That's true.
Now, as a Steelers fan, I don't relate to that because we've got six Super Bowl titles. But oh, hard time. I think other cities need the small victories.
That's right.
Six titles, yeah. RJ Bell,
Lombardi trophies.
Well, hey, before we dive into some of this other stuff, I had a listener ask me a question that he wanted me to pose to you. It's like, do you actually ever have an off season where you take time off? Because, I mean, I know there's times when you've traveled and called in and stuff, but do you have an off season?
No. You know what's funny is there's like couple days a year. So like the NBA All-Star break, that Friday used to be a great day because there would be no NBA and you know, obviously the Fridays for college. You know what? I must be thinking of something else now because obviously in the All-Star break, no, that's right, because it's February, March. Yeah. So that's a day typically that Friday that's been wonderful because of very limited college and no NBA. But unfortunately, college has started to really try to focus on that Friday. And then obviously the All-Star break. Now, here's the thing. And I, you know, listen, it is a grind. But I originate only in the NFL. So what does originate mean? I mean, really the driver of my picks in the NFL are mine, my opinion. Not that I don't consider other opinions, but at least 50% is my opinion. In every other sport, my opinion is less than 10%. So as a bettor, I'm going to talk to my experts in whatever sport's going on that day and make my bets accordingly. So yeah, it might be an hour of the betting. But that, you know, obviously an hour isn't a full day's work. Now, I've got business stuff, which is, you know, often, you know, 8 hours plus. So I would say, but those things for business, I can take a day off here or there. What I will say is I've never taken off more than, let's say, 3 days in a row for over 10 years.
Oh, boy.
So even on my honeymoon, which is now come June 21st, will be 9 years ago, is, you know, we went away like for 4 days. And the first half of the first day I worked and the second half of the last day. So really 3 days is max, but I really get really anxious if I'm not working. And so I think I probably have a problem, like a workaholic thing, but I, like my friends go to the beach, not gambling guys, but old friends, they'll go to like Myrtle Beach, right, which is the big, you know, beach on the East Coast that people tend to like to go to, I think. And they'll go for like 15, 16 days, like leave that Friday and not come back till two Sundays. And it's like I couldn't do it. I would go crazy doing that, though. I think most listeners are going to say, man, that sounds like fun. 2 weeks at the beach.
RJ Bell, our guest, pregame.com. Okay, looking at these series prices, is Cleveland's number down from where it was before they finished off the Celtics? Because I'm seeing plus 230 now. I thought I was seeing close to plus 300 before the game last night.
Yeah, we projected. Now, there's been some variance on this, right? So a couple weeks ago on our Dream podcast, so every week during the NBA playoffs, we do our podcast. I host two professional bettors, I think two of the sharpest guys out there. And the projection was in the minus 400, you know, plus 320 range. Now, when numbers came out, maybe 3-4 days after that, and we projected that maybe 2 weeks ago, is one book was really low here in Vegas in that 240 plus 200 range. And the other book was a really respected online book named Bookmaker. And they're probably the biggest online book with Pinnacle, and they were at minus 290. So there was a difference of opinion. Now the opener was in the 270 range after the game was over last night, and it's gone down. So what we've seen is it really is a pros versus Joes. And usually with the pros versus Joes, the Joes are on the favorite. But this is a very rare case, and it harkens back to Mayweather-Pacquiao. So there's two things a recreational bettor wants. He wants to bet a little to win a lot. He loves the idea of a big payoff. And the recreational bettor also likes to bet a really well-known team that he can feel good about betting or individual. So it's very rare a guy like Pacquiao was a big plus money guy, but against Mayweather he was. So there was tons of recreational action on Pacquiao because the theory was that it was a rare case of fitting both criteria. One being bet a little to win a lot. They were getting, you know, over 2-to-1 payout. And they were betting Pacquiao, a very known guy you could feel great about betting. So think about it during the regular season, let's say in the NFL, and you're talking money lines, let's say, because if you're betting spreads, it's always going to be right around minus 110. Well, imagine getting the Patriots at plus 200 or plus 300. They'd love that, right? But you never get a chance, really, in the NFL to do that.
Right.
And the only time you might is the Super Bowl, and you tend to see people bet the underdog on the money line a ton in the Super Bowl because they're getting a really good team and a plus money payout. Well, here we go, NBA Finals, getting the best player of the century, and I think that's hard to debate at this point. I'm a huge believer Jordan is head and shoulders above LeBron. We can debate that maybe in July when we have some time, but I think it's hard to debate Kobe is better, to be honest, or Duncan. And I think those would be the two guys this century, right, that would be in the conversation. So you've got the best player of the century, in my opinion, I think many people's, and you're getting over plus 200. So what you're seeing is the Joes are heavy on Cleveland. And on Twitter, that feedback's been strong. Like, oh, give me, you know, I might have to sell my house. That kind of talk, right, to bet this. And then I think they're exaggerating. And then you've got the pros love Golden State. Same two guys said, I said, what is your bettor's line? Now, let's make a quick clarification here. A bookmaker's line is supposed to split the action. A bettor's line is supposed to split the result, 50-50 on the result. And their bettor's line, they said minus 400 or above. Today, you know, we recorded this yesterday. It's up on the homepage right now. So wise guys think that it's minus 400 or above, but because of public perception, it's in that 250 range now. So you're going to see the wise guys heavy on Golden State in the series, not necessarily every individual game, and heavy recreational bettors on Cleveland.
RJ Bell, our guest. RJ, I want to switch over to the NFL win totals that you put out because I like to look at one pool of wagers and compare it to another. And one thing that kind of struck me, and we talked about this a little bit earlier in the week, the Titans total is 9, the Colts total is 9, the Texans total is 8.5. Yet on the odds to win the division, the Texans were co-favored and the Titans were third choice. So I know they don't look at one for the other, but I like to look at one and say, okay, wait a minute. Am I smart to bet the Texans over 8.5, or am I smart to bet the Titans to win the division? Because the pools may be different, but there's a different perception here in terms of how these teams are going to do based on division winner versus win totals.
Now, listen, this is a very sophisticated point because not only are they different pools. Now, listen, there should be a correlation, right?
Right.
You're not a perfect correlation, but you're not going to have, you know, someone be in the bottom half of the league on future odds, let's say, and then be in the top five in win totals. You're not going to have that type of disparity. But when you do have a disparity, it's very important to identify who is the majority better in each pool. And in general, the future odds are very recreational, right? People want to put 10, 20 bucks on it and bring the ticket home in their wallet, show it at the poker game, show it at the high school basketball game. You know, look, I got the Texans. You know, I win 200 if they win the, you know, win the Super Bowl. Now, to me, whenever I see the recreational pool and then I see a sharper pool. So I think most certainly the win totals are much sharper. And for those that aren't knowledgeable about the win totals, it's a matter of how many games of the 16 regular season games over under will a team win? So New England, for example, one book had them at 10.5. Actually, another book opened up recently at 11.5. So the question is, are they going to win, 12 games or not? And if they do, over wins. And if they win 11, under wins, obviously at the 11.5. And a 10.5, slightly different. Much sharper. So what I would say is, I would be looking to play. So the two pools you're talking about are the division pool, and what's the other one?
Over under win totals.
Okay. See, I think both of those are fairly sharp. So what? Boy, Tennessee being the third favorite. What odds did you see? Because I'm ready to go bet that.
Well, I'll have to go back and find those because I don't have them in front of me.
Because, I'm guessing it was like Houston was like plus 170, and then, Indianapolis was maybe plus 180.
They were all really close. The top three were all really
right?
close.
Yeah, the Texans and Colts were tied for the lowest odds. So
what I would say is this, is I think Tennessee is a team a lot of wise guys are very high on. The sense is, they were trending upwards. Some people are going to forget. And we actually did our early bird May podcast for an early NFL look. So that's up on the homepage, too. We did about 50 minutes breaking down a lot of the early numbers. Dream Pod, it's already up. Just recorded that this week. And we talked about Tennessee at length. And one of the things we talked about was, what do you look for in an NFL team that's going to under or overperform season to season? And there's a couple of things. One is going to be, did they win a lot of close games or lose a lot of close games? Because that tends to even out in the long run. Number two, did they have a really positive turnover differential or a very negative turnover differential? How many did they give up and how many did they get? Because that tends to even out in the long run. And one last thing, and it applies to Tennessee, were there injuries that weren't so dominant that it's going to come to front of mind when you think about that team's record the year before? And obviously, if a guy was hurt in week 10 and the quarterback was out the whole second half of the year, you're going to think about that. Right? Remember Green Bay a few years ago, that happened. But with Mariota getting hurt for Tennessee, that was late enough that I don't think people are going to be thinking, oh, that's why they didn't make the playoffs or whatever. So I think that's one advantage of Tennessee, is they had some injury, and specifically Mariota last year, that maybe won't be front of mind, and thus people are going to be looking at their not making the playoffs, when in truth they probably were playing as well. I would make the case as well as any team in the South last year, late in the year, before that injury.
That's RJ Bell, pregame.com. Great stuff as always, RJ. And I'm going to have some free picks up this weekend on some of the big horse racing on pregame. So we'll hopefully make the people some money.
Oh, that's going to be for which event?
Well, for Woodbine, there's also a couple of big races at Santa Anita. So I'll have some picks up for free this week. So we'll make some money, I promise you.
So, amongst people who buy picks, if you lose once, you got like 10% that's going to be mad. Now, you've had an amazing run on the Triple Crowns over the midterm, but last two triples you've missed. How's the feedback been, let's say, with your Twitter people, your radio listeners, not necessarily the hardcore skeptics that tend to buy picks, but rather just the general audience? How's the response been?
Better than I thought, because most of the people who are buying them are people who've been following me for a long time, and they're still way up, and they're happy. I'm surprised there's a group of people out there that just hate anybody who does picks, and those guys have come out of the woodwork. But for the most part,
and the thing about that is, I know we got to run, but to me this is such a key point. It really, they talk about shaming in politics, fat shaming, or the S word, I guess, with girls who like boys, shaming. And
we say slut like shaming on this show.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
And we like boys. We like sluts, though. We're for.
You guys are the degenerates. But the thing is, I believe there's gambling shaming. And I'm not going to say it's as important, or I'm not going to get on some sanctimonious high horse. But what I'm saying is, like, the idea that if you are a sports bettor, somehow you don't deserve the same rights as, or the same, let's say, consideration as someone who doesn't bet sports. So let's think about this. Jim Cramer, right? He's on CNBC. He's an investor, but he sells his stuff. If you go to a certain website, I can't remember which one it is, you can buy Jim Cramer's picks, right? Does anyone complain about Jim Cramer? But somehow, if you are an expert and you've proven yourself, right, to be an expert at horse racing, you write books on this subject. And if you say, hey, I'm going to give a bunch away for free, but I'm going to take some of this and sell it, somehow that is something that's worthy of scorn by this small 10% group. And to me, I think it's something that needs to be attacked back, because I think it's absurd that someone who's so expert like you are at horses, or like Steve Fezzik is at the NFL or whatever the list is, shouldn't be able to somehow monetize that expertise if he's willing to share it. I find that to be objectionable. So I'm going to be fighting for you when it comes to this.
Well, you know what? I've found most people that I've tried to be reasonable with will be reasonable. But then there's a few that just don't care. They're just like, we're going to rip you because you're on pregame and you're selling your picks. I'm like, okay, well, blocked. Goodbye. End of story.
And that's the point. Those are the people. It's really not about pregame.
No, they don't I know.
What it's about is that we are, you know, in many ways, the site that gets the highest profile. And because of that, we get, you know, a big chunk of the heat from the groups that feel like that somehow you're not justified, that you're not expert enough, no matter how great you are, right? Steve Fezzik's won the Super Contest twice. The only guy in the world to ever do it, and he did it back to back, but somehow he's not expert enough to be willing to share his information and be compensated. To me, again, I find it objectionable, and I think it'll be fun to discuss this as the months and years go by, because I think it's going to be very telling. As sports betting becomes more mainstream, it's going to feel more acceptable that an expert should be compensated.
Well, I obviously agree. All right, RJ. Appreciate the time.
Thanks,
man.
Guys.
We'll talk soon. All right.
Thank you.
Sorry, John. I know we went too far there.
Way to go.
Sorry. I wanted the show to get back on the rails. You know, and RJ brought us back. That's what he does.
Well, he tried to take it the other way at the beginning.
He kind of did.
Yeah.
Aaron Sfida said he's officially saved today's show. When was the last time Shakespeare was ever quoted on the Blitz? I'm pretty sure I've quoted Shakespeare on this show before.
Yeah, you have.
More than once.
I don't like it when that happens.
I know. It pisses AJ off, which is why I do it.
Yeah, he'd rather talk about feet.
Right. That's how he gets me back. Maybe I'll do the speech from Hamlet when we come back.
Now Raheel's tweeting about feet.
Of course he is. You know.
Well, he took it the other way. It was an iPhone versus Android picture of girls' feet versus Shaq's feet.
Yeah, I really like Raheel, but you know, now that he's wooed us, I think he's fallen down my power rankings. He's lost a few spots. I'm putting him behind Joel Blank now. Just kidding. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.